Right. Continue our journey here in the book of Luke. Now we start to see the power and the authority coming from Jesus Christ. We start to understand who he truly is and what he's doing in these little towns. We start to understand by these miracles and by these healings and who Jesus is. And the reason why he's doing those things is because we understand that he is God, that he's able to do those things. We are going to be in our study of the book of Luke in chapter 4 here, in verses 31 through 44. See, verse 31, this is when we start to see he's starting to cast out the unclean demons and what the unclean demons are. So in verse 31, it says he came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. So he was teaching them means that he was instructing them. Understand now where the journey of Jesus is going. He's instructing them. He's teaching them. And we know the Sabbath, obviously, the Sabbath is on a Saturday. We can take that into account of what that is. If we bring the Sabbath into our terms on a Monday through Sunday deal, we understand that the Sabbath is on a Saturday. We understand the importance of the Sabbath and what it truly means. But I want you to take into account in verse 31 that he is teaching, that he is instructing. Understand, Jesus was all about instructing and teaching since he was a little boy, that he was always in this mode of teaching, of showing, of making them understand clearly. And that's the same thing that we should be doing to others. We should be teaching, instructing, teaching the gospel, showing people the Holy Scriptures and what they truly mean to them and what they mean to us as believers. Verse 32, it says they were amazed. They were truly just amazed by his teaching, by his instruction. This was something, like I said last week, something that they have never seen before. This was something that was completely different from what they were seeing in the past. And obviously we know that the prophecies were fulfilled. But understand that these people, ordinary people of this town, have never seen the magic of God, of the healing nature of who he was. They couldn't understand the multitudes of what was happening in this town. They have never seen anything like that. And later we understand too that Jesus can also raise the dead, that he is God and he is able to do so because he is God. And his instruction and his teaching was pure. His instruction and teaching was straight from the Word of God, and there was no deviation from that because he was God. Understand that he came down to make sure that the prophecy was fulfilled. He came down to make sure everybody understands who God is, and by these things that he was doing, by this healing that he was doing, this was a sign of completing everything together to show who he is, so that there is no doubt inside a carnal man's mind that this was God, that this was happening, because there's no other way you can explain it. So they were amazed by his teaching, by his method, by his message. His message was filled with authority and power. Notice it wasn't saying that his message was just conveyed. His message was fulfilled with power, that he was in control, that they had no way that they could not listen to him. It was filled with that power and authority, and it was bold and it was clear. And the reason why it was clear, it's because he was the Messiah, because he was the one that was being prophesied before, years and years before he was even born. There's a reason for that. Man's authority cannot equal to our Messiah's authority. Man's authority is wicked and is full of sin and dirty. The Messiah's power and authority is filled with the good news. And he's filled with the promises from years and years ahead that are completely being fulfilled in front of these people's eyes that were no different than who we were. That are no different than on a carnal man's that can look at that, that can see that we cannot be into the multitude of who the Messiah is. So when he's taking demons out of people, this was something that was being shown for one particular reason. It's to understand his deity. It's to understand that he was God. And to understand that he was the Messiah that was talked about years and years ahead of the time. Read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29 here. And it's important that we talk about the deity of Christ and who he truly is and how he is in control and how things have all come into play and what the process is that is going on. Verse 29 in chapter 7 of Matthew says, "For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes." There we can take into account this book of Matthew was also part of the Gospels. So we're going to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke a lot by comparing the scriptures because it's taken by an account from another person who's seen it, who was along with that. Understand, Luke was a physician and he wrote from what he heard from other people. He was not there during this time that it was going on. So we can take into account that Matthew was there and he was teaching them and having as one having authority, as one as authority. There, the one having the authority was Jesus during this time. Notice it didn't say Jesus and, or he was using the scribes to teach this. No, he was the one that was in complete authority. When we talk about Jesus Christ and we talk about his gospels, we understand that in him alone that he is in authority, that he is the powerful one. And when we hear about him teaching with power and authority, sometimes we like to think Jesus was sitting there and giving a suggestion. Sometimes we like to say he was sitting there and saying, "You should, but if you don't, it's fine. I guess you're okay." No, he said with authority and power. When we talk about Jesus and we talk about God and who he truly is, we should be in fear because he is powerful, because he is the ultimate authority figure. We call him Father, don't we? When we pray, we talk about Father. When we think about a relationship between a man and a woman, majority of the time, the man is the authoritative figure inside that relationship. That the man is the one that is in charge. I'm here to tell you that God is in charge. He is our Father. So when other groups of churches talk about, "And Father, Father, I pray to you," to a man, that is wrong. There is one Father, and his Father is God. He should be your ultimate Father. When you go to ask for penance to a man, that is blasphemous against our Father God, because he is our true Father. And he is the powerful one. He is our authoritative figure. He holds all of the authority. He is ultimately powerful. He holds your salvation in his hands. So if a God holds your salvation, as minimal as you are, in his hands, he must be a powerful God. And he must always be in charge. When we sit here and we honor and praise him inside church, we don't sit there and do it just to go through the motions. We sit there and honor and praise him because he is the powerful and authoritative figure. And there's no other way around it. But we sit here and we honor and worship and we say the words, but do we truly mean the words that we read and that we sing? Or do we just go through the motions because that's what we do in our lives? Go through the motions every day instead of honoring and praising a heavenly Father that is in control, that is powerful, and that holds all of the authority for every single person on this earth. When we continue inside of our studies here, we understand verse 32, power in control, verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man possessed by a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Understand, when Jesus spoke about in the synagogue, when Luke was speaking this on this page, in the synagogue, this is where Jesus went. This is where he went to teach. This is where he went to instruct. Earlier, we found out in the book of Luke that the synagogue is where he felt comfortable and he was connected to his Father. The Father, God, and he was in control of all of the authority from verse 32 into verse 33. He's teaching in the synagogue and an unclean demon. We talk about unclean demons at this time. Unclean demons were evil demons. And I know you can say, well, all demons are evil. And I understand that, but this is more evil. More evil of a demon. An unclean demon was something that you did not want to have inside of you during this time. And so when Jesus went to put on this healing spree like he was doing, it's to show his deity. I don't want you to take into control that he was trying to flaunt how wonderful he was because he was God and he could do that if he wanted to. But he did it to show his deity, that he was in control, that he was fulfilling, that he was God. So he seen a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, an evil demon, and cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus the Nazarene?" See contradictions here. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." Here we understand that even Satan, even demons, know the authority and the power of God, because he talks about it inside his word. He says, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." There we understand that he is coming full force in understanding that even the demons and the Satans all understand who God is. Now, if we talk about authority, we talk about power. If he wasn't in full power and full authority, even the demons would not understand who he was. Even demons understand who God is. Unclean demons understand the power and the authority of our sovereign God. But we have people on earth that don't understand the sovereignty and the grace and the mercy of our great God. But a demon that is completely evil can understand the holy God, the Holy One of God. Read in verse in James, in the book of James, here, chapter 2. Verse 19. It's important to truly understand the authority and the nature of who God is. Because if we don't truly understand that, then we don't understand the characteristics of who God is. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. There, even the demons shudder over the greatness of God. The power, the authority, the sovereignty of our great God. It says it in God's word. The demons also believe in who he is. They also believe in his characteristics. They believe in who he truly is. But we don't. We don't understand his sovereignty. We don't understand his power. We don't understand his authority. We like to use our own authority over God's authority. We put ourselves full of power. We have people who proclaim to be the leader of the church, to be in full power. Well, I'm here to tell the Pope today that the Pope is not in full power. God is the authoritative figure and is full of power because the Word says so. If the Word stated that the Pope was in power of the Catholic Church, in Pope of the Protestant Church, therefore, the Pope would be in charge. I'm here to tell you the Word of God says the Holy One is in control. The Holy One has the authority. That is not listed. Therefore, if we talk about sola scriptura, we talk about what is in God's holy word is what we stand by. The Catholic Church have gotten it wrong because they've twisted it for us to worship a man instead of worshiping our sovereign God that is in control, that shows his power, that shows his authority. When Jesus is taking an unclean demon out of a man, completely healing other people, that shows power. That shows authority. There is no man that can put his pants on the same way I can that can heal a demon out of a person. There's one that can. And that is our Messiah, who fulfills the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's no other man that can do so. No other man. We go back to the readings here in the book of Luke. Now we start to see that even the demons understand who he is. In verse 35, Jesus rebuked it, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." When the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, came out of him without doing him any harm. Now I want you to take into account here, notice that Jesus was not harmed. The man was not harmed by no means when that demon came out. Why? Because Jesus is who he is. And he was not going to be harmed by that. Neither would the man, because if the man was being harmed out of that, then he would have not been God. And there's no man that can go up to somebody, put their hand on their heads and say, "You are disease free. You no longer are going to hurt. You are no longer going to have cancer," because the only one that can do that is by God. And we see that here. He took the unclean demon out. And the reason why he did that is because he was God. So when we see grown men try to heal people, truly, that is wrong for prosperity. the only man that can ever heal was the man Christ Jesus. And the only way he could heal is because he's God. There's nothing outside of that. Nothing outside of that. So when we teach people a false gospel that we can lay our hand on somebody and that we can heal them, that as a normal human being full of sin can heal another man that is hurting, that is wrong, and that is blasphemous not only against God's word, but it's blasphemous against God. And we see it all the time. We see it in several churches that teach this, that this is what you can do because we are life givers. The only life giver is Jesus Christ, and you better hope that you're part of His elect. There's no other way but through Christ alone. And we see evidence of that there. Because He rebuked it. The reason why He rebuked it, because He's showing His powerful and that He is full of authoritative nature. Read here in verse 36, an amazement came upon them. It's astonishment. They're having astonishment because full of power. That He is powerful. So they were full of astonishment. And we read here, what is this message? For with authority and power He commands the unclean spirits. It's stated right there. With authority and power. So when we limit Jesus, when we limit God for who they are, we limit a sovereign God full of authority and full of power. When God's word says the opposite, for with authority and power He commands. Notice He didn't say He suggests for it to leave. I want you to understand and think about what we watch. He commands. He says, get out with boldness. I don't want you to think that our Jesus is a hippie Jesus that says peace, love, and happiness. No, He does say that. But He also says, I command you. When He tells us to repent because of our salvation, He doesn't say, I guess you can. He says to repent. I tell you now to repent. When He was on the cross and the thief was about to meet Him in paradise, He says, I have messed up. I didn't have it all together. I did what I did. And He says, do not worry. You will meet me in paradise. And notice when He says, you will, that's a commandment. That's being bold. That's telling Him now you will. We talk about Jesus. We talk about what He did with His healings. When we talk about what He did by going from town to town and preaching the good news, He did it with boldness and He did it with authority. Not a suggestion. So when we teach people that you can save yourself, you can, not only our sovereign God can truly save because He is who He is, because He has the authority to do so. He is powerful to do so. It takes away from who God is. It takes away from the deity of Jesus Christ. It takes away from the ultimate power. And it takes away from His sovereignty. Because if you say that you can choose yourself in salvation, you take away the characteristics of God, you take the sovereign nature away from Him, and then you put yourself on a pedestal above God. And when you put yourself on a pedestal above God, God hates the sinner. God hates the sinner. the sinner, a man of iniquity. He hates it. But we tend to do so. We put ourselves above that. We put worldly things ahead of gathering and fellowship of the saints. We put worldly things ahead of our studies. We put worldly things ahead of our lives, ahead of other things going on. We put worldly characteristics and events ahead of a sovereign God who is in control, who is powerful, and shows all of His authority. We must understand who He is. Because if we don't understand the characteristics of God, then we don't understand who He is. And when we see the teaching of Jesus Christ inside the Gospels, there's no other beautiful makeup of how we can understand God. Only a true sovereign God can heal. Only a true sovereign God can take a demon out of a person. He commands the unclean spirits. And I'm going to tell you one thing about God. When He commands the unclean spirits, we read in His Word that they came out. Because He is powerful enough that they didn't push back. That they didn't push back and say, "No, no, no, I'm not coming out. I'm going to stay in this man and I'm going to make him worship something else." When God commanded him, the demon, to come out, you have no way but not to come out. They came out because of the power, because of the sovereignty. Verse 37 says, "And the report about him was spreading into every place in the surrounding district." They were spreading all throughout the nation in his homeland. He started to understand who he was. People were speaking. People have seen this happen with their own eyes, and they could not doubt it. They couldn't doubt who God was at that point. They couldn't doubt that Isaiah was actually speaking this into existence, that this happened. That it was real. And it was spreading all throughout. Into every place in the surrounding district. It started to spread. Can you imagine a time when people were in doubt of who God is? They see things like that, and then it starts to spread. From every district, it spread all throughout the land. And when it spread throughout the land, there's no doubting of who He is. The only thing we can spread is a false gospel. The only thing that we can spread is that we don't have enough time. The only thing that we see on television is a Super Bowl. I'm here to tell you that if we did what the Great Commission said for us to do, that the lands around us would understand who God was, who understand who God is, and that God is still sitting on His throne right there next to Jesus Christ, who is the Son, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who makes the Trinity complete. Man, this world would be a different world. Be a completely different world. But we get caught up in worldly situations and worldly things. We do. We all do. We get caught up in the world. Take the world out and put the Word in. That's what we do. We read the Word. Sola Scriptura is so genuine. It is so complete. And it speaks not only during a time at this when there was doubt of who He was. We still doubt Him. We're still in that world. And His Word speaks to us now. The same word that the physician Luke wrote speaks to us now. Speaks to us clearly so that we can understand who he is. We must complete the Great Commission. Verse 38 here, he says, "Then he stood up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home." Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. Now, when we talk about that she was suffering from a high fever, the one thing that is different from the other Gospels is that Luke is going to explain what she was suffering from. Because Luke is thinking in the mind of a physician, of a doctor. So he's saying that he is pretty much telling you what she's suffering from. That's the difference that you're going to read from there and the book of Mark. Because we read the book of Mark, it just explains that she's suffering. In the book of Luke, he kind of dives a little bit deeper into that and explains what she's suffering from. And because you got to think in a physician mindset when it comes to the scriptures. And they asked him to help her. So they came and they said, "We need help." And he came and he did assist. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever. And it left her. When we talk about that word of rebuke, the reason why he would rebuke, because he has the authority to rebuke. We talk about rebuking. He is being bold with that statement and he's being very clear on what needs to happen. She stood up and began waiting on them. So understand this situation, that she was suffering from a high fever. We read that out of Luke's diagnosis, that she was suffering. And as soon as it was rebuked, she stood up. That moment of when the Messiah rebuked the fever, she stood up. Notice it didn't say later on in the day she stood up and started waiting on them. No, she stood up automatically when she couldn't stand up moments before she met a powerful and authoritative God. And then she stood up and started waiting on them. Understand how wonderful, how amazing the power of God truly is, that's able to be completed. This was a private setting. Because I want you to take an account, it's a private setting that there weren't many people in there, but the people that were in there to witness this. We go earlier into the book of Luke where it was in amazement because of the authoritative and powerful nature of who he was. And while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, laying his hands on each one of them. He was healing them. That description of while the sun was setting, we can take into account that it's the end of the Sabbath. There we understand before that the Sabbath was happening, but now we can see the sun is setting on that day, which makes it the end of the Sabbath. It's so amazing when we read here that those who had any who were sick, I want you to take into account, were sick. They were. Then right afterwards, they were healed. They were healed. Just automatically, immediately, automatic miracles. The only way we can see an automatic miracle, the only way things like that can happen is from a sovereign God who shows his authoritative nature and is powerful again. We don't just see one account here, we see two of them. This here was not found in any other gospel. This is only found in the book of Luke. You see how amazing it truly is. And demons also were coming out of many, shouting and saying, "You are the Son of God," but rebuking them. He was not allowing them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. Once again, the demons are proclaiming, "You are the Son of God." Turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And the tempter came to said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Temptation. We see the temptation again. We see the demons tempting Jesus over and over again inside of the Gospels. We see it consistently. We see it happen all throughout the Scriptures. But we can take into account of who God truly, truly is. That he is who he is because he's powerful enough to show all of these different things. Notice that we see not only just one command inside the Gospels, we see multiple commands inside the Gospels of who God is and his sovereignty. We see it not only in the book of Luke, but we see it in the book of Mark. We see it in the book of Matthew. We see it over and over again, the authoritative nature of who God is. The powerful nature of who only one God can truly do. Understand, like, even in the book of even in the Torah, even in the Quran, they don't have a sovereign God of who we have. They have idols. And when we idol these things, we put them above God. Just like when we idol different things in our lives, we put that above God. When we put a game above our God, we are blaspheming God and his nature and his authority. The demons even know that you are the Son of God. It shows his identity. Verse 42. The day comes, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. There we can take into an account that a secluded place was somewhere where he was praying. It's somewhere where he was connecting to God, that he was talking to his Father. He was actively praying. We must, saints, actively pray. If Jesus Christ, the Messiah, can actively pray to his Father, we must actively pray. We must actively be in connection with God by reading his holy scriptures. A secluded place. I want everybody to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Verse 35. Then the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus rose up and went out of the house and went away to a desolate place and was praying there. We have two accounts inside the Gospels that Jesus was praying. He would go to a desolate place to be able to speak to God. I'm not telling you, saints, to go off into the middle of nowhere and go kneel down and pray to God. And if you want to, by all means, do so. I'm telling you to just pray to God, to speak to God, to pray to him. And you may ask, well, why do I have to pray to him? Because he's God. Because he is in control, because he is the powerful, the authoritative one, because he is who he is. We should be in prayer with him. We should be praying to him constantly. teach our children to kneel down before bed and pray to God. We teach them these things, but we don't. I'm the first to tell you that I teach my kids to pray to God and then I go and I don't do it. Why am I teaching my children these things when I don't complete it? Why am I telling my kids to read God's word every day, but I skip a day? We must be consistent with our teachings, with our kids, with our families, because God is consistent. If He is powerful like we are proclaiming Him to be, not only should we pray to Him, but He demands us to pray to Him. It's not a suggestion. It's never a suggestion with God. Sometimes we suggest things when we talk to others. You should try this. You should read your book. You should read this little pamphlet that speaks about God. No, you need to speak to Him. Because if you don't speak to Him, then you will not be in paradise with Him. Prayer is a very important piece of a Christian's life. If you do not have a prayer life, you don't have a Christian life. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Prayer is important. When the day comes, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were eagerly seeking Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from going away from them. People wanted Him around now. Why did they want Him around? Because they witnessed on who He was and the things that He was doing. They wanted Him around because they witnessed the power. They witnessed the authority and they wanted Him to do more of it. They wanted Him to do more of it, but they didn't put in the work to get closer to a God that He was speaking about. They wanted Him to do all of these different things, to show His power, to show His authority. But the people were leeching onto Him and they didn't want to do anything different or anything extra. They were using Him for His power. We use Him for our power all of the time, but we don't put in the work that is commanded by God. We must put in the work. It's not a machine that you can go put a quarter in and twist it and get a prize. Christianity is work. And if you're not being rebuked for your beliefs, if you're not being looked down upon for your beliefs, if you don't lose family members and friends for the gospel, then you don't have the gospel. People were beheaded for this scripture. Christ was crucified for who He was, for what He said. I'm here to tell you now, if you don't have people talking down to you and telling you that you are absolutely crazy, then you are not speaking the gospel that is written inside this book. I have lost family members. I have lost friends. I will continue to lose friends for this gospel. Because I do not need friends, because I have God. That's all you need. It's the only friend that you need. If you're not walking around with this word as a defense, and you are coming up with a man-made defense, then you are wrong. You don't understand God's power and authority. We must constantly be a student to God's Word. We must constantly be reading His Word to come up with a defense for what is going on in the world. That's the gospel. That's why it's so important. Verse 43. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also. For I was sent for this purpose. We read the word proclaim. When we talk about proclaiming something, we talk about completely describing it and speaking it. It's not a suggestion. It says he must proclaim the good news. He has saints as a follower of Christ. We must proclaim the good news every single day in our conversations. We must proclaim the good news to our family, whether they may rebuke it. We must proclaim on how wonderful Christ crucified is, even if they say you're nuts. We must proclaim the good news, not because some man has told you that. You must proclaim the good news because our God commands it. We must follow Jesus Christ, and if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we follow by what He did and what He continues to do. So when it speaks, I must proclaim the good news, we must proclaim it of the kingdom of God to other cities. There, the Great Commission is starting to form. That he is going from town to town talking about the good news. And we see, for I was sent for this purpose. Was sent by his Father for the purpose of spreading the good news from town to town, to city to city. But we sit on our cell phones and don't tell nobody. We must proclaim the good news no matter where we go, whether we travel into town or that we walk next door. We must proclaim the good news of God. It's not a suggestion. It is a demand, and it's because it says, I must proclaim, I must do it. Missionaries are overseas right now proclaiming the good news, possibly could lose their lives. But we sit here in our luxurious houses with internet and air conditioning, and we can't proclaim the good news because we're scared what somebody's going to say. We must proclaim the good news no matter what the situation comes after it. People are being arrested for their beliefs. People are being beheaded and killed for who they are. But we stay where we are. We must proclaim the good news. Verse 44, so he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Synagogues, that's the Father's house. This is where Jesus feels most comfortable in the synagogues. This is where he starts to feel more connected to his Father inside the worship place. We read that he kept on. He never stopped. He kept on going. He didn't take a break. He didn't say, a couple weeks I'll do it. He kept on teaching and preaching the good news. We read in the book of Acts here. Everybody flip to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Here we understand the complete characteristics of Jesus. You know, in verse 38, it says, you know of Jesus Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We see his ministry be complete by showing these healings, by showing these casting out of demons, by showing the power and authority. The reason why is because God was with him by doing this to show who he was and who he is. A powerful God, full of authority, full of demands, full of boldness that no man can ever equal up to. We ask man for forgiveness. We ask man for Hail Marys. There's no man that can give us forgiveness. There's no man in another country that can sit on a throne. There's no man that you should bow to that is worthy enough. The only one that is worthy is God. And the only mediator is through the Son, Jesus Christ, that we should be praying to. You may ask, well, I grew up in an opposite church that teaches that. You didn't grow up in a church. You grew up in a gathering. Church teaches the Holy Bible. Church teaches the Holy Scriptures. If it's not inside the Holy Scriptures, it is not made by God. There's only one God that is worthy enough, that is full of power and full of authority. Let us pray. Father, we know who you are. We know you're powerful and full of authority. Father, we're honored to read your scriptures, to understand all of that. Father, I ask if there's anybody listening that is not connected with you, that don't understand that, that is completely lost from that, that the word of God has transformed a dead heart into a new heart. Father, take ourselves out of it. We're powerless. We're not full of authority. The only powerful God is you. And you sent your Son here to prove that through healings, through teachings. And ultimately, he felt the wrath from you for sinners like us. That's what we're thankful for. And that alone shows you're powerful. That alone shows your authority. Father, let us understand your characteristics by your word. We don't focus on any other thing in this world. No man can tell us opposite, because we go to the Holy Scriptures alone, and that's what teaches us that it's faith through Christ. Because of the Holy Scriptures, for your glory alone. We say all of this in Jesus' holy, holy name that we proclaim. Amen.